of the virus. And the form of teachers of my name, they were favored. And now come to the end. Verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou didst to the people and courage, and thou also did. Thou the verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the desire of your saving. That's in your life, which came in our shoes and our love, that our sin has got the truth to Jesus. Hear not those things, which thou shalt suffer, because the hope of the devil shall cast some of them into prison, that he may try and shall have tribulation and pain, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even when Jacob's keeping, Jacob's throne, where the seat is the work of throne. Thou goest past my name, and hast not denied my name, even in those things that I have because my faithful father, who was slain upon you, as Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because I was there then to hold the doctrine of Balaam, who shot there to cast himself in flock before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also then to hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in like manner. And if the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was similar, had some of the ingredients of the doctrine of Balaam, which did thy king. Look at verse 30. Nevertheless, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Though I will cast her into a bed of them that covet her husband with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will give her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth our veins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, very important, please love the word and. Unto you I say, unto the best in thy attire. For the first time you have a remnant coming in here. As many as have lost this doctrine, which have not known the depths of sin, the deep things of sin, as we speak, I will put upon you another burden, that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Of the 8 times the word Satan is found in the book of Revelation, 5 of them are found in this chapter. And once you have the word devil, and we shall see that these false apostles, that you either in verse 2 or elsewhere spoken of in the New Testament, as the ministers of Satan. So we have thankfully 7 references to Satan and his work in these 2 chapters, showing that the assemblies are a sphere in which Satan has great interest. His interest, of course, is twofold. He wants to corrupt the true, and he wants to introduce the false. These are the 2 ways in which the Apostle Paul warned
And that from among themselves men would arise to take away the disciples after them. Here were the two prongs of the pincer movement of Satan. We are acquainted with the idea of a pincer movement in the days of the last war. One prong of the pincer movement would push on the one side, and the other prong would push on at this time, and then they would meet at a given point, and all the alienated team would be in their grasp. And here are the two prongs. The satanic agents, the grievous wounds. That's the first prong. The second, from among yourselves shall men arise. A deteriorated ministry amongst those who are really true to the word of God. That is true in the sense that they were really true servants of God. Satan can lower the standard of the truth, he will be satisfied. If he can infiltrate the false, then at the end he gets the truth to coalesce. And I think that's what we have when we come to the letter written to the church of Thyatira. Thou sufferest thy wife, Jezebel. There's the angel and Jezebel united as some authority to suggest that it's not merely suffering that woman Jezebel, but thy wife Jezebel, that the two are united as it were in an unholy bond of matrimony. Even if you take that as the authorized, there is something of a close bond between the two. Those represented in Jezebel and those represented in the angel. They have coalesced. They're united together to the great detriment of the people of God and to the accomplishing of Satan's purpose. Now in the letter to the church of Ephesus and in the letter to the church in Pergamum, we have a reference to those called Nicolaitans. Who are these? Whom do they represent? I quote you something from William Lincoln, either from his notes on the Revelation, or it may be from his book, The Javelin of Phinehas, the book that he began writing when he was still a clergyman in the Church of England. A book written on these two chapters, a very large book, and he draws a very wide comparison between these two letters, these two chapters, and their letters, and the seven parables of Matthew chapter 13, shows that the two go together. Newbery, of course, in his Bible, I believe that's the same. Newbery, in his Bible, draws attention to the comparison that he suggests between these letters and the king in Israel's history. But this is what William Lincoln has to say with regard to the Nicolaitans. There never was a sect of the Nicolaitans. All sorts of old tomes have been searched to discover some traces of its existence. But in vain, this Archbishop Trench admits. Suppose that there had been. Why should the law so pointedly single out this one and condemn it so severely? Not once, but twice. Which thing I hate, says our Lord. Twice over. When the influential and pestilential sects that were at the end of the first century at least a dust, why should this one get all the blame? And what mystery have we herein? Behold the source of the when he did. Men have assumed this text existed. Then answered it had its origins on some Nicholas. And then the very Nicholas has been identified all in imagination. The Nicholas, of course, that they imagine to be the founder of this sect is the Nicholas mentioned in Acts chapter 6, one of the six chosen to serve tables in Jerusalem. Now we've got to try and see if we've got anything in Scripture which guides us with regard to our pathway to discover who these Nicolaitans were, who do they represent. Seeing them all speak so strongly about condemning them so severely in the letter to the church of Ephesus, or in the letter to the church of Thyatira, in the letter to the church of Pergamos, and you've got their teaching again in the letter to the church of Thyatira. Have we anything in the Scripture to guide us? I think we have clear guidance in the Word of God. I will look for a moment in the letter to the church of Ephesus again. There in verse 2, we have reference to the people, to those who said they were apostles, but were not. The liars. Those who are spoken of in the same verse, thou canst not bear them which are evil. They are workers of iniquity. They are those who are satanic in their character. And definitely these are the grievous rules suggested by Paul in his message to the overseers, to the bishops of Ephesus. After my departure, some grievous wolves coming among you, not sparing the flock. Here they are, the false apostles, they which are evil. Now go down to verse 6. If thou hast, if thou thinkest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, are those who do not accept all that may believe the Scripture teaches with regard to the Nicolaitans, then like French, Plumtree, Anglicans, who have written very helpful ministry on these two letters and these two chapters, they make it quite clear that in their view, the people referred to in verse 5 as the Nicolaitans, or in verse 6 rather, as the Nicolaitans, are the same as the those referred to as false apostles in verse 2. Thou didst try them which say they are apostles. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Thou canst not bear them which are evil. The Nicolaitans do not refer to some other to some other group. They are definitely referred back to those referred to in verse 2. The false apostles, them which are evil, are the same as those referred to as the Nicolaitans. Now we turn back to a passage in the Corinthian epistle, 2 Corinthians, to see if we find any clue there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle says in verse 2, I have found you to one husband, that I may present you with chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that my enemies will subvert and behind me to his versatility, so your mind should be corrupted. From the simplicity, notice the reminder here, and the purity that is towards Christ. It's not merely a simplicity in the form of gathering. that of which are injured whatsoever. There's nothing in the verse to suggest that Paul is thinking in terms of simplicity of church gatherings. What Paul here is telling you is purity of heart and devotion to Christ. And that's what the apostle, what the enemy is after. If he can rob Christians of their heart's affection for Christ, if he can rob the assembly of heart devotion to Christ, if he can put anything else in the place of the person of Christ, it may be some truth, it may be some ordinance, it may be some special way in which the ordinance should be observed. Anything can come in, and if it comes in and takes the place that Christ should have, the person Christ should have in the affections and devotedness of the believer, Satan will have been satisfied. There's a great danger that may come in today in among the families of believers gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christians and the teachers may get turned aside and get occupied sometimes with things that are of minor importance. And these things which are of minor importance are given the papers that central place in their preaching and practice. They become eccentric, out of center. Now the aim of the devil, the aim of Satan that they have here is to corrupt the chaste virgin, to define the church for the chaste virgin. The word corrupt is used, as we shall see in 1 Corinthians 3, for corrupting, defining, the defilement of life that we've got here. The wrong of the betrothed virgin of our affection for Christ and for our devotion to Him. For if He is the coming, as the title of the Messiah, if He is coming, these people, whoever was that was coming, obtained very high ground. Preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not seen, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, if I went there with him or with me. But I suppose I was not a bit behind the very chiefest apostles. Their opinions differ as to what the apostle had in mind there. If you have Darwin's translation, I think you will be guided as I may. Paul is not comparing himself here with Peter, James, and John. There is no reason why, to judge from the context of the whole chapter, that Paul is thinking here in terms of comparing himself with other true servants of God. If you read chapter 11 and chapter 12 together, I think it'll become clear to you that the apostle here is speaking of these apostles in verse 5. He is speaking of those who were claiming to be apostles in a superlative degree, self-styled apostles. Turn down with me, please, into verse 13. For such are false apostles. False apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The other people, they were coming into college and you can't see the epistles of the New Testament without seeing that these people came down like a plague of locusts upon every assembly that we read of in the New Testament. You read the epistle to the Colossians and you find these same people with a mixture of Judaism and a mixture of heathen philosophy in their system of doctrine. Men that were seeking to undermine the very foundation of the Christian faith, attacking the true heritage for the person of Christ. and then came to the fullness of salvation that Christ has accomplished. Men who try to penetrate and try to contradict their illusions and visions. Paul had their illusions, so they said, we must have their illusions too. The only way it comes in Acts, the Apostle Paul, was by claiming to have had visions and revelations from them. And here they are, the false apostles. Look at the next word here. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, here are the ministers of Satan. This is what I refer to in chapter 2 and verse 2 of Revelation. The false apostles mentioned there, those who said they were apostles but are not, or were not, but are liars. They were the ministers of Satan, satanic agents. You see, the true church was established by the false apostles. The foundation was laid by the apostles and prophets. Historically, of course, the foundation was laid at Calvary. The death and the resurrection of Christ, that's the historical foundation upon which the church rests. But doctrinally, the foundation was laid by the apostles. Paul and others. Paul laid the foundation in Corinth. Now the foundation can no man lay save that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the church at Corinth that the apostles is referring to there. Now if the Lord had apostles to lay the foundation for his true church, Satan was going to introduce his apostles to lay the foundation for his counterfeit church. Now that's what we have here. Satan had a master plan to build a counterfeit system of Christianity, a counterfeit of the truth. And he began with a counterfeit system of apostles. Look at them, these guys, a little later into verse 22. Are they Hebrews? Of course they were. The devil knew well enough that there was no use having a Gentile as an apostle. All the apostles of the law were Hebrews. They were Israelites. Are they Israelites? Are they the seed of Abraham? Are they the ministers of Christ? They were all Jews, everyone. Peter, James, John, and Paul. These others, they were all. They were all the seed of Abraham. As apostles and Paul. Now, when Satan is choosing out his apostles, he doesn't go to Africa. He doesn't go to some Gentile thing. He has many Jews. He has false men, Judaizing teachers. These men who claim to be apostles. They laid the foundation for what later develops into the counterfeit system of Christianity that is so much in evidence today in the world. Oh, that one could spread this knowledge abroad and get this conviction deep into the heart and mind of the people of God. When it's tempted to say good evening with regard to the attempt at the present time towards humanity. If we get a grasp of what we've got here, the temptation to think of the way in which our Lord brings before us very clearly in these prophetic letters how Satan would work. He first introduces his false apostles. you don't have any reference to false apostles in Smyrna. You don't have any reference to false apostles in any of the other letters. You have false apostles only in the church, which comes in the days of the apostles. In both apostolic running, we get in the days of the apostles. John was still living. So the here in essence is And in the letter to the church of Ephesus, we are dealing with things in the close of the apostolic year, the ministers of Satan. False apostles. Liars. Now look again to see if we've got something of their character. Look at verse 21, please. Or verse 20. You suffer if a man wrote these words in faith. You suffer if a man bring you into bondage. Did he paraphrase that? You suffer if a man rob you of your liberty. Now what's the meaning of the word Nicolaitis? These two chapters have a lot to say about overcoming. The Lord is an overcomer. True believers are overcomers. And all true believers are overcomers. And those of us believers are overcomers. But the Lord and believers are not the only overcomers. Satan's angels are overcomers. Nicolaitis, conquerors of the people. Nicolaitis, conquering the people. Now here is what the apostles are saying. You suffer if a man robs you of your liberty. Take away from you your blood-bought privileges. Your God-given privileges. That's the Nicolaitis. Look at the next. You suffer if a man devours you. That's the meaning of the word Balaam. Balaam the devourer. Church acknowledges that. And church acknowledges that Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, is very similar to the doctrine, the elements of the doctrine of Balaam were included in the doctrine of the Nicolaitis. The doctrine of the Nicolaitis contained more than the doctrine of Balaam. But the doctrine of Balaam was included in, was a part of what the Nicolaitans taught. They taught something else was taught. But they did teach what Balaam taught, as we shall see in a moment. You suffer those who devour you. You suffer, says the apostle, if a man takes of you. If a man smites you on the face. If a man exalts himself. If a man raises himself on a little platform above you. Claims to be not only a Christian, not only a preacher and a servant of God, but now claims in the similar to the priests and the Levites of Old Testament days, saying that they are a little shame higher, that they belong to a privileged class. You suffer if a man exalts himself and raises himself up into a position that the New Testament never acknowledges. The New Testament clearly teaches us that idea. And that there are rules of the Lord are fitted for ministry. And that there are rules of the Lord are fitted for the preaching of the gospel. But there is no hierarchical system in Christianity. Christianity knows nothing of a hierarchical system. The word for a priest who sacrifices is exclusively used in the New Testament for the Lord Jesus. We use the word hierarchical. It comes from the word hieros, the sacrificing priest. And it's used only of the Lord Jesus as an individual. It's used of a company of people of God in Peter, in Peter, upholding priesthood. Collected it. The royal priesthood. He has constituted the law of God, priests, the kingdom of priests. But never in the singular is that term ever used of a servant of God. The late Bishop Prescott and Lightfoot, they say that it's the nearest thing to verbal inspiration that they knew of that. They knew nothing that illustrated verbal inspiration more than that.
Thank you.